on this special bonus episode, Johnny and I had the distinct pleasure of sitting down with artist Christian Colbert. Christian was on previously in episode 10, and this time he comes back and he is promoting his new property. It's more than just a comic. It's something that's really, really cool called Lantern Falls. And you guys should totally check that out. We also talked to him about how he got into comics and what some of his inspirations are and, you know, just all that good stuff. And we have a great talk. So make sure you check it out. Here is our interview with artist Christian Colbert. Enjoy. From the windy city in Chicago. Christian, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks for coming back on the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Thanks for having me, though.
Yeah. Well, and part of the reason we're having you back is because last time we were on, I said the next time you have something to promote, you have to come back. And lo and behold, you have something to promote.
Well, if I have to come back, I didn't really have a choice now, did I?
Nope, you really didn't. So, you know, that contract that you signed last time requires you to give us exclusives for the rest of your career.
Wow, that's rough. I thought the firstborn child part was a doozy, but
well, like, considering you're probably not. No, I'm kidding.
It's not the first one I want. It's the seventh one, the seventh son.
Oh man,
that's the one I need.
The seventh son of the seventh son.
I don't know. Are you a seventh son, Christian?
No, I'm not.
Well, you're no good to me.
And I don't have any kids either, so I better start working on that.
Yeah, there you go.
So
pump out seven of them.
Yeah. Like, you've got, what, 7 years? So that's, they don't all have to have the same mom.
This contract's just getting worse and worse. So. It's like the deal that Lando Calrissian made with the Empire. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
So anyway, all right. Well, hey, anyways, welcome back, man. It's awesome to shoot the shit and chat with you. And you have some really exciting news. You sent over the your new property, Lantern Falls,
the Bible,
the design Bible, and we've been kind of pouring it over here for the last few minutes. Can you tell us, first off, what is Lantern Falls, and then secondly, what is your plan for Lantern Falls?
All right, well, Lantern Falls is a story. I probably came up with it when I was about 25 or so, and it just kind of sat in my head for another 6 or 7 years. Slowly worked on it, slowly developed it. Finally started writing a script, getting some designs together. I was thinking of pitching it to comic book publishers, but I made a contact at a company called Global Genesis Group, and I pitched it to them, and they loved it immediately. And I'm like, shit, why didn't I do this a lot sooner?
Nice.
Yeah, it's basically a story. It's inspired by everything, all the movies I loved from the 80s, like Karate Kid, The Goonies, Lost Boys, Monster Squad, stuff like that. So it's a really fun story.
That's what, when I was looking through the Bible, I'm like, the Corey character looks like David from Lost Boys.
You got it, man.
Yeah. I was like, man, that looks like David.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Monster Squad, because as I was going through this, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
it's very similar.
You're definitely right on track.
Well, even the you didn't read everything, but Corey's group of skaters are the Johnny's group from Karate Kid. I mean, the skeleton faces. I'm like, oh yeah, I recognize the skeleton faces, and they're creepy little looking dudes. So
you've been working on this for what, like the last like 6 or 7 years, you'd say?
I've really only been putting in a lot of work on it in the past 6 to 8 months.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I've been kind of chipping away at it for years and years. The story's evolved and changed over the years. It started as something almost completely different. The main character and his sister were going to be vampire and werewolf hunters. And so it ended up changing. And I finally got this idea. Basically, the story starts with this kid, Dominic, and he's moving to a new city. Doesn't know anybody. He starts to make friends, and he, you know, has a run-in with the local bully, and events lead to the reality being changed into like a Tim Burton-esque Halloween type world, and everybody is turned into a monster or a werewolf or a ghoul or a ghost or something along those lines.
Something supernatural and creepy.
Something supernatural and creepy. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, this looks great. So, you said you had originally envisioned this as a comic book, but that has changed?
It hasn't permanently changed. I'm still looking into publishers, stuff like that. I still would love to do it as a comic book, but if I can do it as a cartoon or a film instead, then I'm probably just going to do that because it's just seems like a better way to get the story out there. If I do the comic book, I'm going to be doing it all myself, penciling, inking, coloring, lettering, writing. And for all you guys out there who have ever made a comic book or tried to make a comic book, you know how much work it is. So I just kind of think doing it as a film or a TV series would be a better way to get the story out there.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds awesome. And so how much writing have you done in the past? Because like, I've mainly known you as an artist.
Well, I've always come up with my own stories. I dabble in the writing, but then I get kind of behind on the writing because I'm working on the art. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a writer and an artist. I just happen to be a better artist because that's what I focused on my sure. entire life. But you know, I consider myself like if I write this, if this becomes a comic, I'm definitely going to write it myself. There's not going to be anybody else I'm going to bring in.
Because this one is mainly your idea, so. Or yeah, is awesome. Your idea. I mean,
mainline. So technically, this is his firstborn, which he owes us.
Right, yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. We get all royalties from the animated series that'll be on Nickelodeon in the next year.
No, Netflix. You gotta go for Netflix, man. That's where it's at.
Nickelodeon, Netflix, it's the same.
But, yeah, I mean, this is awesome. And so, you know, obviously, like, being a kid of the 80s like we are, like, it's invoking some very strong emotions. And me, like...
Good, that's exactly what I'm shooting for.
I really want to see this, like...
Aladdin's you know. Castle. Yeah. I think we had Aladdin's Castle here in Cincinnati when I was, like, going to malls and
maybe,
that.
Yeah.
It was an arcade. It was, yeah, seriously... It was did you have one up there?
Yeah, we had one up here.
Okay, yeah, there was one. I can remember in Aladdin's Castle, like, I would go to all the time and just play Pac-Man and stuff like that. But, and that's what, when I was going through looking at the stuff, I'm like, oh, cool, Aladdin's Castle. But,
so, like, even, like, when I get to the arcade, it screams Flynn's.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like, and that's totally on purpose, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and actually, the movie theater next to it is
the Apollo.
An actual movie theater in my hometown of Oberlin, Ohio. So, it's a mixture of Flynn's arcade and my hometown.
Very cool. Yeah, this is great. So when will you learn more about, I guess, the future of animation or movies or, you know, some other form of media?
Well, I just signed on with the guys last week.
Oh,
so
the ink's not even dry yet.
Yeah, ink's not even dry yet. So we're still working on things. I have to write a script treatment for a film or a television series. So that's going to be the next step. I already have a lot of the comic book written, so mm-hmm. I'll probably just adapt what I have from the comic book to a teleplay or a screenplay.
So, like, as someone who's never written a comic book, just read a lot of them, how different is that? I mean, really, like, because I guess when you're writing this comic script, I mean, you're still setting up, like, exterior shots and motion and that kind of stuff. Is it that different?
It's a little bit different. I mean, if you can write a comic book script, you can write a television script and vice versa. Obviously, there's things you can do in a motion-based media that you can't do in a comic book and stuff you can do in a comic book that's not going to work on, you know, a TV show. So you just have to keep that stuff in mind. The big thing that I'm really attracted to is having motion and sound and music and voices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because that's just the stuff you can't really do in a comic book. I mean, you can do sound effects and stuff like that, but I mean, like, that, if you write crash or boom on a page, it's not quite as effective as actually having like an audible sound.
Yeah. It's not as effective having the crash or the boom.
Right.
Very cool. Do you have any other questions about
it? Oh, no, I was more wanting to know, like, you know, obviously your art is awesome and that. What kind of training did you have? Did you go to school or?
Yeah, I went to Columbus College of Art and Design.
Oh,
and
okay.
I, I dropped out like a champion with to go.
It happens.
Actually, the two other people I know have went there both dropped out. So for me, that seems like the natural progression for going there.
Well, I don't want to say don't go to art school because I learned a lot while I was there, but a lot of the other stuff that I've learned has just been kind of self-taught and from practice and doing things on my own rather than, you know, sitting in a stuffy classroom with some patchouli-smelling professor telling you how to draw something.
Right, yeah, that's what I was like, you know, you kind of get at that with people that I've talked to, and that they go to school and then it's like they learn more on their own. It's like I've had people tell me they go to school to learn not what to do, or to learn not what to do. What not to do. Yeah. So, I mean, your stuff looks awesome. Like I said, I noticed a lot of the characters. I'm like, oh yeah, I see such and such in this character and that. So that looks cool. Are you working on anything else or just mainly Lantern Falls?
Mainly Lantern Falls at the moment. I had what seemed to be a pretty decent day job recently, but the guy stopped paying me.
Oh.
So that kind of went to shit.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Yeah, he got kind of upset because I wanted to quit, and he didn't understand because it was because he wasn't paying me.
Yeah,
and
that's always good to get a paycheck when
you're
doing work.
Yeah, I mean, I like to pay rent, and I like to buy food. And,
well, sure, yeah. Yeah.
You mean at the end of each week on Friday, like a crisp high five wasn't enough to get you to come back on Monday?
I mean, it almost was. It almost was.
Yeah.
But then... Then ComEd and DirecTV and my landlord started demanding money from me.
Yeah.
And they don't take high fives.
No.
That would be awesome if they
That would be great.
That'd be fantastic.
I'm pretty good at high fives, so I feel like I could go far in life.
So I'm curious, is Lantern Falls kind of your hometown, Oberlin? I've never been to Oberlin. I'm sorry. You know, I'm in Ohio, but I've never been to Oberlin before.
That's right. Not many people have.
Yeah.
It's up by Cleveland. We're from the southwest part. We're not welcome in that part of the state.
Oh, yeah. So. You got to have a passport or something to get up there, right?
We don't have the proper papers to get up there. So
the cool thing about Oberlin is they try to make everybody feel at home. It's a really cool small town.
Okay.
I think you guys would like it. As back to your question, it's not really my hometown. It's going to have like some visual things that kind of look like my hometown, but
right.
The story is based in the Pacific Northwest, like in Oregon or Washington State.
What was the town in Twilight called?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Is it the same town as Twilight?
yeah. He's got shiny werewolves in this story.
Shiny werewolves, nice. They leave glitter behind so everybody thinks a stripper's been there.
That would have been a cool concept.
Yeah, that, you know, you can have that character. So.
Sweet. I'm gonna put that one in the book.
Nice.
He dies in the first page of the first issue.
Yes. Hey, at least he was in there on the first page glittering it up.
Well, even... So. You know, you brought up Flynn's.
Yeah.
The dad's name is Kevin Bridges.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, yeah. It's like, nice.
And he's visually based off of Jeff Bridges as well. The kid's mom is half Puerto Rican and half black. And the only reason I made the kid half white is because I wanted to make his dad look like Jeff Bridges.
Nice. Oh, okay, cool.
And
cool.
Then is Willie based off of Delroy Lindo?
He's kind of like a Delroy Lindo or a Louis Gossett Jr. type.
Yeah, I see both, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I my first thought was Delroy Lindo because of the nose, but yeah, no.
Iron
I mean,
Eagle, baby.
I know,
Eagle.
Exactly. So, and is it okay if we post some of these pictures to the site so people can take a look?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll send over some separate images. I don't want to put the whole story Bible out there for everyone to see. Not that I don't like the fans, you know, reading about stuff like that, but
no, it makes sense.
Keep a little bit under wraps.
Yeah, when it's in development, like
send
this,
that headshot of Corey Cameron because man, that is awesome.
Okay,
yeah, or the cover for book two, Strange Days
with the wings.
With the wings is pretty awesome.
Okay, yeah,
but
cool.
But no, all right. So like, I guess you know we like to talk about comics on the show, you know. I guess just we have some questions that I always like to ask. I don't know if you got to listen to since you've been on, we've interviewed several other creators and it's been a lot of fun. You were kind of our first, so it was really
cool.
You
were the genesis for all the other interviews.
You popped our interviewing cherry.
You guys are weird.
What?
We're weird.
It got weirder when you said pop the cherry. I like felt uncomfortable.
I'll edit that out. I won't. I'm too lazy. But no, so like how did you get into this? Into drawing comics? I mean, I'm assuming growing up you had sketchbooks just full of, you know, doodles and characters and stuff like that.
Well, when I was a kid, I always drew stuff, and you know, I was a kid of the 80s, and I grew up on Voltron and Transformers and He-Man and stuff like that. I think when I first realized I wanted to be like a professional artist, I wanted to be a cartoonist, like with a comic strip in the Sunday paper.
Oh, nice.
I was a huge fan of like Calvin and Hobbes and mm-hmm. Garfield, stuff like that. But then I got a little bit older, and my older brother started collecting comics, and like any little brother, he wants to be cool like his older brother. So I started reading comics too. And it just kind of took off from there. I started drawing them. I didn't actually start making my own actual comics probably until college or so, yeah. Like actually trying to lay out actual pages. I would just, when I was in high school and stuff, I just, you know, find a cool Todd McFarlane cover and copy it or something like that. And I didn't really start making up my own stuff until I got to college.
Nice. But, I mean, it seems like that's kind of a natural progression, though, for most, especially artists. What were some of the characters that really, like, drew you into comics?
X-Men. My first comic book was my first superhero comic was an issue of Classic X-Men. Came out in, I want to say 1988 or 89. It had a John Byrne cover on it. It had Colossus like kneeling on top of a whole bunch of beaten up X-Men, and I was just looking at it like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Colossus is one of the coolest X-Men.
Yeah, he's
ever,
pretty awesome.
So.
Speaking of, did you watch Deadpool?
I did see Deadpool.
What did you think of Colossus and Deadpool?
Oh, Colossus was perfect. Yeah. I mean, I liked him in the other X-Men movies, but they nailed him in this one. It was perfect.
I thought it was pretty great. But yeah, all right, so cool. So what are some of the other comics? Are you still reading? Like, what are you reading now?
I picked up a couple comics recently. I actually don't really buy too many comics recently, but I tend to follow creators more than actual stories.
Yeah.
I picked up Tokyo Ghost by, was it Rick Remender and Sean Murphy?
Yeah.
I only got a couple pages into it, and I fell asleep. not to the detriment, not because of the comic book, because it was like 2 a.m. But I always loved Sean Murphy's work. His stuff looks really good.
Tokyo Ghost is cool.
Yeah, I picked up Spider-Man and Deadpool. I read the first issue. It seems pretty fun. I always like Ed McGuinness's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got me hooked on Archie.
Did I?
Sweet. Yeah, I love that book. I mean,
isn't it really good?
It's so good. And like, I get Jughead too.
I haven't picked up Jughead yet, but I'm gonna have to check it out.
It's interesting. It's not like the same. It's this kind of just weird, like you're inside Jughead's head.
So this is the guy that got you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at him when he bought the first Archie, and I'm like, what? I was like, okay.
And I was like, Christian talked about it, and he said it was awesome, and it's, you know, it's Fiona Staples. And
I still haven't read it,
but yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
So anything else, or just kind of. Just kind of checking out the different creators as they pop. I guess, like, who are some of your other favorite creators?
I always liked Ed McGuinness's stuff. When I was in high school, I really wanted to be Joe Madureira. I just thought his stuff was, like, I had gotten out of comics for a little while when I was in high school for some stupid reason. And then I saw one of his covers when he was doing his X-Men run. I think it was when Wolverine and Archangel went to Chinatown or Koreatown or something, and they were fighting with this little wizard looking dude, and Wolverine had on a kimono. I was like, this is the best.
Joe Mad, man. He did awesome work.
Yeah, he still does awesome work.
The Battle Chaser series was like, was that his?
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing was awesome.
Yeah, and that's coming back. They're making a video game and a new comic book. They're going
nice.
To
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Yeah, you guys didn't know that? How am I dropping that one on your show? You guys should.
I have a full time job now, so I can't surf the internet.
I've had a
full
time job. So. Now, yeah. When did they say that's coming out?
Oh man, that was like last summer when they announced
really?
It. Or maybe.
But it is Joe Madureira, so it might not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
he makes promises and then he hurts me. Well, it's like the cliffhanger books. That was Danger Girl and his book, and then
and Crimson.
Crimson, and Crimson. I loved. I have that in that entire run of that book. So, did you read that?
Yeah, I just bought the first hardcover.
It
came out. I was a little bit disappointed in it, though. I mean, the story is still awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Some of the print quality on some of the pages just looks awful.
It looks like the hardcover?
Yeah.
It
looks like some of the pages, they like scanned the comic book, like they lost the original digital.
Probably did, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's possible, but they also didn't include any of the covers.
And really?
Yeah, and they didn't include like any of the sketch art or anything.
That sucks cover. Then.
Yeah, I mean, I paid like, $35 for it. I could at least include the covers.
I'll have to find all the single issues for you.
I think I probably still have them at my parents' house somewhere in a box.
It was a fun book, and I remember like they did every year. It was 2 years that book ran, and both years they did like a Christmas issue that totally like just took a break from the main story. But they were like the two best. I think those were probably the two best issues they did. Were the two Christmas stories, and it tied to what was going on, but it was like its own separate little story.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, and it's like it's always nice to have a break when you're like doing a big story like that, because it was just pretty much a planned 2 year arc, and it was like the breaks were always the best thing. Did you read Starman from DC?
Starman, I did not.
Okay, like in that book, James Robinson would do these breaks where he would call it Times Past, and it would tell stories about the city, like back in the day, or a character when they were younger, or you know, their origin or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like always nice to have a little break in the story, I guess. Yeah, which a lot of comic books don't do that, but you know.
Well, yeah, a lot of comic books now, they just aim for the multi-title crossover with in the entire company.
Or it's that we got to get 6 issues out to get a trade paperback out.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay. But, you know, it's nice to have a break once in a while in the story and just focus on a character. I guess because I've been reading comic books since the, like, late 80s, early 90s, you know, there was always those single character issue books and that, like, you know, like classic X-Men would focus on a character at times or, you know, a certain point in the story. And there's a lot of books that did that type of stuff, I guess, and they don't do that anymore.
Well, I bet somebody does it in the independent market.
Yeah.
But as far as like Marvel or DC goes, not to knock them or anything, because they still make some really good books.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, there's books that I love and there's books that I don't love. So, but yeah, it's one of those things where it's more. I think I do it too now. More follow creators, writers, and artists than I do books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's as you get older as a fan of comic books, when you get older you realize that it's not the book you want to follow, it's the artist or the writer.
Like, I'm not crazy about Wonder Woman as a character, right?
Right.
But I'm totally buying Greg Rucka's first however many issues.
Yeah.
Because I buy everything Greg Rucka does.
Right, yeah. So. If you're a fan of a certain person, it's like, I always tell people, I'm like, support your artists, support your writers and your artists. You know, don't support the book, just support them by buying the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and if you buy their stuff, that means they're going to have money to make new stuff that you can buy.
It's exactly what, you know, that's what I'm like, your story obviously is going to probably go more toward the animation stuff, but it's like, you know, I definitely like the style and I would pick up the book. Like, you know, it kind of does resemble Crimson in a way that, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, this catches my eye right away.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that, Roberto Ramos?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's kind of, yeah, your style and his style are not the same, but they resemble each other.
Yeah, he's definitely influenced me in a lot of ways. Just the way he designs characters and the shapes he makes with the characters.
Yeah,
He's not like a Jim Lee where every muscle is hulking and ripping and perfect. He's more exaggerated and blocky, and I don't know, I find it so visually interesting to look at.
It's one of those things where teenage kids should not look like they were lifting weights since they were like 4 years old.
Right.
And it's like, that's with your style in Lantern Falls and obviously with Roberto's style, it doesn't look like that. Like when he was doing Flash and that in the 90s, when he did some of the Flash issues, the characters actually looked realistic enough with an animated style. that it was like, okay, they're more believable than the bulked up, you know.
Well, his Spider-Man is like my favorite thing that he does.
Well, yeah. That's another good example.
When he did Spectacular back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, you know. Oh, fantastic. He's one of my favorite Spider-Man artists. Him and Mike Waringo, I think, are my two.
Yeah. I like Mike Bagley too, or Mark Bagley. But yeah, no, you're right on there. So where are some of the places you go to find like inspiration? Like, you know, we've talked about like the Goonies and Karate Kid and Lost Boys and that kind of stuff. But like where else do you find like your inspiration for creating a new character, or, you know, in the case of Lantern Falls, an entirely new universe?
Well, as far as characters go, I always try to put something in the character from somebody I know, and whether it be a name or a personality quirk or just like the way they look or the way they're built. Basing your characters off of real life people you know is always going to give them a little bit of an edge of, you know, making it seem a little bit more real and a little bit more believable.
Cool.
But movies, other books, music. I mean, you can really draw inspiration from anywhere. It's just the stuff you have fun with. I would say my biggest inspiration, other than, you know, old movies for this story, is cartoons from when I was little. I'm like, I have this sequence working in my head of like a Thundercats opening sequence. I want to make one so bad like this.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
Is a little bit of inspiration Scooby-Doo?
I wouldn't say Scooby-Doo. I could see how some people might think that. But Scooby-Doo never really had real monsters in it.
Right, yeah.
And in this book, everybody gets turned into a monster. So
is there anyone who's not a monster?
Well, they start out not as monsters.
Well, no, but I mean, like, when everybody, like, is it one of those things where everybody gets changed, or are there still, like, a few normals in there to, like, kind of shake things up and terrify someone?
Well, the thing about it is, like, when the whole world gets changed, and everybody gets changed into some type of ghoul or ghost, but nobody really realizes that it used to be different. They think in their head that this is normal.
Okay.
And the only people that know it's different is the four main characters. There's Dominic, Brandon, Franklin, and Aaron. They're the only ones that know it's different, and they have to make a decision as to why they want to change it back to the way things were, because there's something that comes along for each of them that makes this reality a little bit better than the way things used to be. But they still slowly start to realize that they can't keep it that way, because it's gonna really, really fuck everything else up.
Cool. I want to know why Franklin's later rebuilt with parts from a Trans Am. Like, where did that come from? Because that's messed up.
Well, he's a senior. The kid's a senior in high school. He's kind of like a jock, mm-hmm. and he drives a Trans Am. I was trying to think of a classic 80s sports car. And when things get changed, he gets turned into this kind of Frankenstein-like monster. And as they're fighting bad guys and moving along, his body keeps falling apart. He loses an arm here and a leg here. And he's eventually just down to a head that Dominic is carrying around in a backpack.
Nice.
And they rebuild him with parts from his car.
Cool.
So he's going to end up looking kind of like a Transformer.
Nice.
Almost. That's cool.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is there a little bit of a Transformer thing going on there?
So does this take place in the 80s, or is it current?
Yeah, it takes place in 1988.
Okay, because I see the 85 on his jacket and his varsity jacket, so very cool.
So there's no cell phones, there's no pagers, there's no internet.
If you look at the mom looks like Vasquez from Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she has a similar look to her as Vasquez did. Huh. Do the parents and everything get changed then?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay.
Part of the inspiration was Teen Wolf, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the mom and the grandfather, they're all going to be werewolves because they're related to Dominic.
Very cool. Nice. But not Teen Wolf 2, right?
Not Teen Wolf 2. Man.
So Dominic's going to be like an awesome basketball player.
He's actually a skater and BMX rider.
Okay. So nice.
when he's a normal human, he's not very good at it. But when he gets turned into a wolf, he turns into like this super awesome boss skater.
Cool.
Cool. Sweet.
Cool.
He turns into like Tony Hawk with massive amounts of body hair. That's awesome. So I guess, you know, what's some of the other stuff like you're checking out? Like, did you watch Daredevil this season with the Punisher?
Oh yeah, I love Daredevil. I thought the whole series was awesome, and Frank Castle, they nailed it finally after many, many tries.
Many failed attempts.
Many
three movies.
Was it three or four? Movies.
Dolph Lundgren,
Thomas Jane,
and then
Ray Stevenson. Okay,
yeah, three movies.
No.
Lou Gossett was actually in the Dolph Lundgren one.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
So, but
I met him years ago. Actually, he was pretty cool.
Yeah, up until this Daredevil series with the Punisher, I would say the Dolph Lundgren version was my favorite of the movie.
It was the closest to like what the story was, and you know the only thing they didn't do was have a skull on a shirt.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, Dolph Lundgren actually did a decent job. I mean, you know, for what he had to work with.
Yeah, it was still pretty bad though.
it was a Golden Globus movie. I mean, you know, it wasn't like they were producing gems or anything.
Wasn't the Thomas Jane one a Lionsgate film?
I think so.
Yeah.
It just got John Travolta in it.
Anytime you see that Lionsgate logo pop up, you know it's like it's hit or miss. It's either going to be something that's really cool or like you're walking out of that theater and wanting your money back.
I feel like it's like that with any company nowadays though. Yeah. Unless you're Marvel Studios.
They seem to be running on all cylinders, so.
Yeah, so we're recording this before Civil War comes out. Are you going to go see it this weekend?
I'm going to try to. It's my girlfriend's birthday on Friday, and
happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday, Christian's girlfriend.
Deal.
So, yeah.
Where on my birthday she got to watch some award show, whatever it was, I forget. And if we got to go see Civil War on her birthday.
Okay.
But she ended up buying some concert tickets or something for Friday night, so I don't even know if we're going to be able to go to Civil War now. So
who,
I kind of
Who are you going to see?
What, for character wise?
No, the concert. Like, who are you going?
It's a Prince tribute.
Oh, wow! You got to kind of do that. I mean, that's understandable.
Yeah. True, and it's her birthday, so I can't really.
So we're actually going Thursday night to see it.
Nice,
but yeah, no, I haven't seen like any like previews or anything like that since like February.
Wow.
So like the last thing I saw was when they showed more of Black Panther, and I haven't seen anything since then. So
haven't seen Spider-Man at all?
I didn't see the entire preview. I just saw.
Did you just see the Spider-Man part?
The GIF.
Yeah.
But so I'm so stoked.
Yeah, that Spider-Man looks phenomenal. I love the way they gave him the John Romita eyes.
Yeah, and they're animated in his eyes just like Deadpool's were, which is apparently the only way to do this now. Like, why Batman, you can still see his eyes, is completely beyond me.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
But did you like that, the Batman versus Superman?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
Keep it that way. You'll just be much happier.
Seriously,
go back and listen to our review of it.
Like I've heard mixed reviews. I heard good things and bad.
Its good points and bad points.
Like I've heard Ben Affleck is really good as Bruce Wayne and Batman. And
correct.
Like some of the visuals are pretty cool, and I gotta admit that Batman outfit, the suit, the Dark Knight suit, looks fantastic.
You know that Zack Snyder guy? He's got a promising future as a director of photography. But he just can't tell a story to save his life.
Some of his stuff. I like some of his movies, man.
Like 300 was good, but it was like a shot-for-shot remake of the comic. Watchmen, the same thing.
He doesn't really write them, though. He's just directing them.
Well, but you're still like telling a story.
I know, but you know, it's one of those things where you got to blame the writer as much as anybody.
I tell you what, there was one really awesome thing was the Nightmare Batman, where you get to see parademons. That is pretty freaking awesome.
All right, no, not too many spoilers here.
Yeah,
no. I'm not spoiling any, you know. But
it's worth it for that dream sequence, and it's worth it for the fight at the end with all three of them, you know, fighting Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all fighting the bad guy. It's worth it.
Wonder Woman was really kind of stole the show.
When she shows up in full armor and that, it's like, okay, sold.
See, but the bad thing is you could pull her out of the movie and not miss her.
Oh, but so. she made the movie more...
She did. She made it better.
Yeah, more enhanced, I guess. Yeah. I'm looking more forward to that movie than, you know, another Batman, Superman movie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, Christian, where can people find your work online?
Well, there's a book I did called Cosmic. I drew the first half of it when I was 28 years old or 27 years old, and then I drew the second half when I was about 36. So there's a good 8-9 year gap. You can find that on Comixology. It's called Cosmic. It's illustrated by me and written by a guy named Scott Kinney.
Okay.
Was it published too, or is it just a digital?
It was published by Arcana Studio.
Okay, nice.
Okay.
So I think they're part of Boom now, right?
I think they work together. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. What other publishers have you really done work for?
I got my first pinup published in an Image comic called Noble Causes. It was written by Jay Ferber, and I think Patrick Gleason did the art on it.
Nice.
This is a long time ago. I did some coloring work for Dark Horse a couple of years ago. I guess the biggest publisher I've done was I did a series of Spider-Man kids books for Disney Publishing. The first one came out in January. It's called Spider-Man Love Bug, and it's basically about Spider-Man flirting with MJ and fighting villains. And then, actually, it's funny, you're on our interview today, the second book that I did for them came out today on Amazon.com. It's a Spider-Man storybook collection. I did three separate Spider-Man stories for that, and I also did a Guardians of the Galaxy coloring book.
Sweet.
For Disney Publishing.
Well, make sure you send me links to everything, and I'll make sure they're in the show notes so people can go buy your stuff.
Sweet. That'd be awesome.
So, because, yeah.
Did you write a story for Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I did not write one. I did a pinup for Tales of the TMNT.
I'm looking on the comic book database, and it's got like a lot of stuff listed for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Comic book database is.
It's a website where you can actually input all your comic books, like the you know, and it's not totally accurate, but it's pretty accurate, and it's got you listed as a, let's see, penciler for Blue Water Productions Presents and Tales of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I did some stuff for Blue Water.
Okay, and then a cover artist for Tom Corbett?
Yep.
Okay, so it is pretty accurate then. It's got you listed on here a little bit.
Yeah, I did a pinup for Tales of the TMNT. This is way before they got bought by Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I forgot I even did that. I don't know that.
Well, there you go.
It's the power of the comic book database. Well, awesome, man. So and you are on Twitter, and it's it's Hey Cole Bart, right?
Yeah, Hey Cole Bart with an A, not an E.
With an E, yeah. So, we'll make sure there's links to that, and then you have, I know, your Deviant Art and everything like that. We'll make sure that people get to see that.
Do you
as
do
well.
Instagram at all?
I do Instagram. It's also at Hey Cole Bart. So you can look me up on Twitter and Instagram.
That's what I'm going to go do right now. As we're talking.
Anyway, so cool, man. So, so you've got Lantern Falls, lots of big things happening there. You're looking for that just kind of holdover day job until you get the fat movie check from Lantern Falls. What else do you have going on?
That's about it, really. I'm really just focusing on Lantern Falls. I'm really excited that the company, like, this is the first time I've gotten something optioned that's completely my own. I've been involved with several other projects that have been optioned to, you know, varying levels of success. But there was always, I was always working with a writer or a company or somebody else. But this is the first time that it's all my idea, all my story. And it's really exciting because I don't have to argue with anybody about anything.
Tell me about Professor Dog.
Well, Professor Dog is he came to live with me and my girlfriend almost a year ago. He's good a lot of the time. He's an asshole the rest of the time.
And when will he have his own book?
He's not going to have his own book, but he is. I have another project I'm working on, and it's completely different than Lantern Falls, but there is a dog in the book that's going to be visually based off of Professor. Nice.
Yeah, your dog looks beautiful.
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, he's a beautiful looking dog. I just like the name, Professor Dog.
That's something like Haley would name something.
Yeah.
I wish I could take credit for the name, but that's the name he was given in the shelter.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. And it was just too cool to change it. We were thinking of other things to change it to, but like, why would we change it from Professor Dog?
How are you going to come up with a cooler name than Professor Dog?
You're not. So it's...
And is Warp Drive your company, pretty much?
Yes, it's my company. I'm gonna be focusing on my stories are gonna be. I would say from rated G to PG-13.
Okay. So
I want everything to seem really fun.
So yeah.
Warp Drive was something that I came up with. It just seemed kind of fun to do.
Yeah.
You're definitely a little bit of a fan of Star Trek, right?
A little bit.
You put the post up that I replied to about Star Trek The Next Generation a little while ago about it being the 90s, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that series always takes me back to high school.
Definitely. Like, I graduated in 93, so it's like it's right there in the middle of my high school years and the years of fun, as I call them.
Yeah, I graduated in 96, so it was right around that time. I actually had my 20-year high school reunion coming up this summer. And
I did not go to mine.
I have mine in September, and I'm not going. So
why not, guys? You don't want
to... I just chose not to because I didn't end my high school career, I guess you say, on a good note with people.
Oh, what'd you do?
Oh, I didn't do anything. It was what was done to me, so...
he murdered a school bus full of...
Yeah, there you go. Kids. It turned into a Freddy's Nightmares episode.
I still live, like, a mile away from my hometown, so, like, I can't not see people, and it's like, okay, I don't...
You literally run into people.
I don't need to spend $100 to go hang out with people that I don't really want to see.
No, that's the glory of Facebook, the people I actually liked in high school... found me and got in touch with me on Facebook. So it's like, you know, okay, yeah, I can deal with some people, but other people I don't want to deal with.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, so we'll make sure everybody knows where to get you online. And then,
I just remember what I wanted to ask you. Who's playing what characters? Like, in your head, do you have voices for your characters?
That's a good one.
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't really have anybody picked out just yet. Actually, the main character, Dominic, I'm going to be making a trailer, and a buddy of mine who's an actor is going to do the narrator voiceover work, and he's going to be playing Dominic.
Okay.
But other than that, other than Jeff Bridges playing Kevin...
I was going to say, are you going to want Jeff Bridges to come on? Lou Gossett Jr. Oh
man.
That would be freaking awesome.
Is Lou Gossett Jr. still alive?
Yeah, he's still around.
But yeah, I'd either get him or Delroy Lindo or like Bill Duke or something like that.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be a good one.
Tony
Todd.
Yeah, Tony Todd would be good too.
He is crazy.
Yeah, if we could somehow get Kiefer Sutherland to drop about 30 years younger and have him do the voice of Corey Cameron.
Maybe he has a kid. I was gonna say maybe he has a kid.
I was gonna say he has a son, I think. You know, he might be able to do that voice.
Yeah, or I think if Michael J. Fox were a little bit healthier, he could do it pretty well.
Oh, that would be awesome. Perfect. Yeah.
As far as the other cast, I don't know. That's something to think about. I guess if it gets turned into a movie or a TV show, then I'm really going to have to think about it.
Yeah.
I tell you who to get to play the grandpa is Kevin Michael Richardson, who I think he plays Shredder on the current Turtles cartoon.
He was the Joker on The Batman.
Yeah, like he would be an awesome voice actor for that,
or even the guy who played the original Shredder on his cartoon, but he passed away.
Yeah, that's Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince.
Oh yeah,
yeah, James Avery.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He would be perfect for it too.
That's just a fun idea to, like, you know, we've all had stories in our head, and you cast people in those stories, and it's like that would be an awesome movie.
Yeah.
That would be. All right. Well, hey, Christian, thanks for taking the time out to to meet with us. This was awesome, and we're really excited for you with Lantern Falls. So when it does finally like become a, you know, a big budget like movie or cartoon series, you're gonna have to come back and be our first ever three-time guest.
Are you kidding me? Once that happens, I'm gonna forget about all the little people.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Why would you talk to two guys? Wait, hold on, Ohio? Hold on.
Again, I refer you back to the contract.
We got revisions on the contract too. Now that I'm involved, so you know,
you got to check Appendix, 42-3.
Some addendums have been erased and others have been added.
Big black lines throughout the entire contract now, like
redacted. But anyway, this was great. No, thank you for coming on, and you know, good luck with Lantern Falls and everything else, and you know, definitely we'll promote the hell out of it.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to seeing what comes of it. That, you know, even if it's just a comic book, I would definitely pick it up. So
awesome. Thank you. I appreciate the support, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Yep. Yeah, great talking to you for the first time. So
yep.
All right, thanks, man.
All right.
Later. So that was Christian Colbert talking Lantern Falls. Johnny, what did you think?
I had a good time.
Yeah, it was great. He's awesome. I'm really excited to see what comes of that.
Yeah, definitely.
It seems like a huge opportunity. We'll post some artwork that we're allowed to post from Lantern Falls.
Yeah.
Because obviously we don't want to give too much away or spoil anything. And all of Christian's contact information will be in the post, in the show notes. So, yeah.
Definitely a good time. I like Christian.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's got his voice, he could voice any of those characters. Like, he could do Franklin. That would be an awesome one for him to do. Anyway, all right, guys. We are, as always, the Infamous Podcast. You can find us online, infamouspodcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes. We're up on Google Play now. For their new podcast network. So if you are listening to us for the first time ever on an Android device, welcome, and I'm sorry.
Wow.
No, I'm just sorry that they've listened for 47 minutes to our nonsense.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
I thought you were going Apple ego. Oh, again. No.
Dude, like, well, you know, we'll do a show one day just about tech, and, like, you'll be shocked at my love for Android. I'll just
hear, blah.
Anywho. But anyway, we're Infamous Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find me at Brian Tudor on Twitter and Instagram.
Johnny Potter at Twitter, Instagram?
Yeah.
I'm not on Twitter much, but like Instagram, you can watch crazy stuff show up.
It's always fun with your hunts and your collection.
Comic books and antique malls.
Yup.
Vacation's coming, so a lot of pictures will be showing up.
So, all right. So make sure, if you haven't, to check out our Civil War review. We haven't seen it yet as of recording this, but I assume we loved it and it's a glowing review.
We won't spoil it.
No. We'll do a non-spoiler review.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so make sure you check out our regular Friday shows.
Check out the Star Trek review that posted last week.
Go back and listen to our interview with Jay Torres. You can, like, we have a lot of great other interviews.
Just go listen to everything.
If you go to the website, we actually have a tab for all the interviews we've done.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of fun ones. The Man vs. Rock guys were fun, and they were completely irreverent and wrong, and I loved every second of talking to them. Jacques Niebb, who has a bunch of really cool stuff coming out over the next couple weeks, so maybe we'll have him back at some point.
Yeah.
Susie and Miguel, who I've already talked to about coming back on. But yeah. All right, guys, have a great week, weekend, day, night, whenever you're listening to this.
We appreciate you listening.
Thank you. Later.